As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Grab your torch and dip it into the sexy St. Jeff candle. No Buffs is back. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory along with my fellow tribe members, two guys who only take aqua dumps together. It's Trey Kirby and J.D.
Yeah, shredded an aqua dump this morning.
Together, of
together,
course.
Together, yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Of course, yeah, I wait until I get here.
Yeah. Hold hands.
Hold hands. We got a pond in the back there.
Okay. We are here to recap episode 5 of Survivor 46 titled Tiki Man. And that's who Tim was talking to about his not ability to take a dump. He's struggling out there.
He's struggling.
Well, 11 days?
Yeah.
That's what he said.
He seemed pretty cool for a guy that hadn't dumped in 11 days.
Dude flew through the immunity challenge. Maybe his body is just working perfectly. Everything that he's eaten prior to this and the 11 days he's been out there, it's being put to use for energy.
Right.
There's just no leftovers.
Right. Maybe it's nothing for him. Maybe it's like he's just a guy who shits every 15 days.
maybe.
Regular life. I was getting major poo god vibes from the Tiki Man, you know?
I thought
he's going to start praying to the poo god.
Yeah, it's true. The poo god is Tiki Man. Shout out to the live tribe joining us right now on YouTube. Take a second, hit the like button and subscribe. Tell a Survivor fan about the show. We always appreciate that. Podcast listeners, leave us a 5-star rating and review on the platform of your choice to help other Survivor fans find No Buffs. Let's jump into it. Episode 5 recap here. We got a nice little Survivor 46 refresher off the top. I was thankful for it. We're reminded that Tevin and Maria have extra votes. We're reminded that Tiffany and Jem have idols, or will soon enough have idols. We're reminded that Ben has no vote. And finally, we're reminded that Banu went home.
Yeah, Banu's back, baby.
Banu was back.
We got a little 5 more minutes of Banu. Couldn't resist. But that was one of the most exciting previously on Survivors that we've had, because you're like, a different tribe's going to tribal council tonight.
Yeah.
Something's got to change.
Yeah, why are they reminding of all of this?
Right.
You know, especially a lot going on there with Sika and the Green Tribe. Then we go right after, of course, being reminded Banu went home, go to Yanu. It's night 9. They're happy. Tiff is very happy. It's the 3 of them left. Her, Kenzie, Q. But this tribe is headed to day 10 without fire. Which one would you rather want, JD? 10, 11 days without fire, or 10 or 11 days without taking a dump?
Oh, it's the fire. It's the fire. Yeah, for sure. But not pleasant.
Right.
You know, you need fire out there.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, I was trying to tell Nora, my wife, from watching this last night. He's like, yeah, Tyson, he says it's sort of overrated fire. Mm. You don't need it out there to actually survive.
Well, was it Tyson that said that? I guess it was.
I thought it was
Chantel came on? Somebody, an old guest came on. I think he agreed with them.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Overrated in the new era. Sure.
Right.
I mean, they're surviving, I guess, but they're not happy.
Nora wasn't buying it. She's like, what are you talking about? Like, first off, what are they eating?
Right.
They're not cooking their rice. Okay, so limited options. Coconuts, I guess, for the most part. Maybe fruit that they found. The warmth that Tiff talks about later.
They're excited about the warmth.
Just the psychological factor. Of like, oh my God. Like, I'm just lying under a giant rock.
Yeah.
Just to stay out of the rain.
Right. Do I sleep in my leaky shelter or under a rock? That's what they've been having to choose from, because it's not just 11 days without fire. I was feeling bad with them. 11 days without fun.
Yeah.
They weren't even smiling out there.
Yeah. Very depressed. You're right.
And also, it gives them something to do as well. I heard Tyson last week talking about with James. It's just a big chore to keep the fire going. It's a communal thing that you know brings people together. But also, you're out there looking for firewood. That gives you a chance to look for the idol as well. But it's just it's a chore that everybody has to stay on top of, and it brings people together. So.
I never stop messing with the fire when we're having a camp out or whatever we're doing. Yeah, you're right. I hadn't thought about that part.
You stare into it. You come up with your strategies and plans. You think about life. Fire is life.
Oh.
Bars.
You're so right. Kenzie does have a small little breakdown in a confessional here. Can't really blame her. Like we just said, they've gone a long time, lost everything, still don't have fire. They're hungry. They're extremely tired. So she has a little breakdown there in the interview. We then go to Siga, though. Day 10. Ben references Motley Crue right away.
That's a new one. We haven't heard Motley Crue yet,
right.
I don't think.
Now, later in the episode, he references Ozzy Osbourne.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also new, I think.
Yeah.
We veered away from Van Halen.
That's right. It's crazy. It's still amazing to me that every time he basically talks, we're getting a new musical reference.
Yeah, I'm surprised that when he came back from the journey, he didn't say, the boys are back in town.
Oh, my God. Well, and how about this? Because he starts suffering spins.
Right.
I couldn't believe he didn't drop a, man, my head's like a spinning wheel. Shout out to Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Yeah, that's like Motown R&B.
Yeah, that's
like,
true,
that's the soul music, I guess. He's very specific, like 80s, like hair band.
Yeah,
rock,
you're right.
Really.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sure there's a better reference with spin in it. But he points out how thankful he is for Charlie, who seems to be sort of helping him out, taking care of him in a little bit. They're bonding. Ben does share, I thought, a great line in a confessional about, you know, surviving on the island to surviving in a van with six other people.
Right.
Making $3 a day eating Taco Bell. Like, this is nothing. I was like, wow, that's probably some truth to that.
Yeah.
JD, did you ever live that life? You were in a band for a while.
I was, and I did. Yeah, it's not easy. It's I would say it's almost harder because on the island, you can walk. You can say, okay, fuck these people. I'm leaving for a few minutes. But you're in a van and you're going from place to place. Yeah, it's difficult. He's built for it, I think.
He's
so oddly built for it.
Yeah, and he's obviously a very positive guy.
He is.
Even the mood light.
Yeah, even though, like,
had a down moment yet.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is his down moment. Like, he was struggling. Like, you know, there's a few scenes where he gets up and he's got spins and he's just not feeling good. And he's got Charlie helping him out. So this is him at his lowest.
That's a great point.
Like, wow, that's pretty good.
I don't get to be like Tommy Lee out here. Come on.
So we then get the girls being concerned about Charlie bonding with Ben a little too much, maybe, and by extension, Tim. You know, we get into this idea of, like, is Charlie going to stick with his angels, the Charlie's Angels, or is, are the guys winning him over? So what does Siga decide to do? Let's have a salsa lesson down on the beach. The Vibe Tribe stay vibing, honestly, up until this point.
Yeah, I was like paying attention. I was like, 1, 2, 3, pause.
Lord of the Moons?
Yeah.
2, 3, pause.
Laura,
all
get
right.
up. Let's dance.
Let's run through this. I mean, if they could get Jem and Tim out there, they can get anybody out there.
They were into it.
I would love for somebody, I would love for Maria to be like, this is part of my strategy. If I make everybody get together and do stuff, nobody can go off and talk strategy. We're just dancing out there.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. What would doing salsa dancing help maybe loosen up the bod? To take a dump? Like, is that why Tim was sort of into it? He was surprisingly into it, I thought.
I thought for a guy who's got a 11-day dump on deck to be dancing around like that? It would just be uncomfortable.
Well, the water was right there, at least.
That's true. He could have just run in there.
He takes the,
gotta be close.
He takes the steps back into the water, takes a dump. That's not one of the moves, Tim.
I mean, learning how to dance when you can't, you literally can't sing on this show. Well, you can't sing non-original material. I mean, we've heard Soda and you know, everybody singing. But yeah, there's like, they had no music. And the composers didn't really lean into the salsa-ish on the the soundtrack, I thought, which is odd. You know, isn't it odd? Like,
a little bit.
We're doing salsa over here. Come
I just couldn't stop thinking of poor Tim every time they got to number two of the dance step. Every time it said one, two, Stop saying that. We just skipped to three.
There was a one, two, pause. One, two, pause.
They were into it. They're, they're still having fun.
Well, they're bored as fuck out there. They haven't started playing Survivor yet.
They've literally had jumping and dancing lessons.
That's
and musical trivia.
Yeah, okay, they've had musical trivia, and they showed it again in this episode. Ben versus Charlie again. Is Charlie just naming Taylor Swift songs every time? But Ben is like, "Hey, I got some more songs. I've been thinking of this."
Were they Taylor? I mean, I didn't think I knew any of those songs that they were.
Oh, I thought he still was, but
I don't know. Yeah.
But the question is, was that like a flashback, so to speak, of like, oh yeah, remember when they did this for 3 hours? Yeah. Or are they still doing it?
It felt like a different time.
It did feel a little bit crazy. Let's jump over to Nami, day 10. Everyone seems to be openly looking for an idol. Everyone except for Liz, because she says she ain't looking for an idol. She can barely find her shoes. So she's like, what's the point? Then we get this whole thing where Venus knows or thinks that the Beware advantage is likely back in the game. She knew that Randon had it. He obviously got medevac, so in theory, it's probably put back out there. She is right to think that. And then she has this weird exchange with Hunter, who she's trying to keep an eye on while he's looking for this thing. And she tells him straight to his face, like, you know, you're basically a threat. Everybody knows it, but that's okay. I'll work with you because I want you to be my meat shield.
Right.
So we've already, through five episodes, have somebody tell one guy, I want you to be my Philip. We had Q telling that to Banu. And now we have Venus telling Hunter to his face, yeah, I want you to be my meat shield. Interesting way to go about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't hate it. I mean, because she's basically, he's saying to her, well, you want to vote me out. She's like, there's no way I'm voting you out. You're my meat shield. She's just coming right out and saying it. And that's her way of just saying, like, you don't have to worry about me voting you out. Let's work together. And she's also being a fly in the ointment. She's doing this. She's just hanging around while he's looking for an idol.
Yeah.
And he won that little war of attrition because, you know, she gave up. She just gave up. And it, I mean, who knows how long she was actually there. But, like, she could have just, she's got nothing else to do. It's just stay on him. Just stay on him the whole time.
I
don't hate that as a strategy. Like, eventually he has to get up and, you know, do something or, you know, whatever. But I'm just, like, Venus says, I'm just going to stick with you the whole time. Mm-hmm. Her pitch could be a little bit more nuanced, I guess.
A little bit,
but,
I think.
But, you know, but I guess this is the new age of survivors. Like, this is the role that I'm putting you into. So you don't have to worry about me. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Okay. What did you think?
I thought that Hunter should have been a little bit more receptive to her. He doesn't seem to be very good at being able to hide his feelings. There's the moment later when they win the immunity challenge and everybody's celebrating and he's Derrick Rose up there, just standing still.
Just stoic.
At least fake it.
Yeah.
Make her feel a little bit better and maybe get some information from her, I would
think. The problem, I think, a little bit was there's two things going on at once. You said it, JD. She's following him while he's trying to find an idol, and he's like, oh, you know, leave me alone. You know, you can understand that. Like, you're just literally hanging around me. And then the conversation of, like, okay, are we going to sort of maybe form an alliance here? You know, I know you're a threat, but I don't want to get rid of you.
Yeah.
Like, that's a whole other thing happening. They're just happening at the same time. But you're right. Hunter finally finds it after she leaves. He digs up the box. We learn he needs the key. Instructions to come only after the tribe loses. And they slipped it in here. We learned that there's a Beware Advantage clause. If Nami doesn't lose, and I guess they go to emerge, which of course we know is coming, he'll still get the opportunity to get it.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah,
totally.
That's
good to know.
And they threw that in for a reason because look where we're going. They're not going to lose. And I guess he's what will that mean? What's that opportunity mean? I don't know. Like, will he have to? I don't know.
Yeah, he'll find a secret message in his bag or something.
Some little like step he'll have to do. But anyway, that's I thought that was interesting. They included that.
I liked when Venus said to Hunter, it'll probably be by a landmark, right? And he says, I think the era of the landmark idol has passed.
Yeah.
And then he found it not by a landmark.
No, that's right. It was up in a tree, I guess, wasn't it? They were doing a lot of digging low, but it was a little higher.
The landmark idol.
Yeah, man. Back to Yanu. Q can't even look at bamboo at this point, let alone lie on it. Like, makes him sick. And Kenzie and Tiff, you know, they're trying to keep the spirits of the tribe up. You know, they're sort of mocking themselves, how bad they are. Probably the way to go about it, honestly. But then Q starts losing the fire. From our perspective, from Kenzie's perspective, guy's talking about basically quitting. He's sort of over it. Like, hey, if we lose again, just vote me out. But then there's a little twist. Suddenly in a confessional, Q is saying, nah, you think I'm giving up? I'm only pretending that the fire, pun intended, within me is gone. So that Kenzie feels a little more safe and would never play a shot in the dark if we go there.
Do we believe him? I mean,
I sort of do.
Yeah,
but
it's a strategy.
I believe that he's playing it up.
Yeah,
that tribe has been really concerned about shot in the darks. Every time they talked about voting somebody out, that's always been something they brought up.
Right.
But also, Jelinski said it was Q's idea to quit the first challenge.
That's
true.
Right.
That's true.
And he also has mentioned, like, well, because he was failing or he had failed in an earlier challenge, like, he was like, just vote me out. I'm to blame. I'm falling on the sword.
Yeah.
He just seems to be prone to these moments of melancholy or just like, okay, get me out of here. I kind of believed him, like, when he said. But then I also I love the strategy of just making Kenzie think that I'm going to quit. But then Tiff is also saying, Q's talking about quitting again.
Yeah.
Or was he?
How much
to say.
Is she in on this?
Right. Yeah.
Have they had the conversation where Q's like, I'm going to play it up, like, oh man, I can't win anything for us. I'm over this thing. But we didn't get that conversation between them.
Yeah.
I guess both could be sort of true here. It could be sort of a part of his game plan, but a lot of truth in it. Like,
I mean, they're like,
he's frustrated.
He is obviously a super competitive person, and they've been losing, getting their ass handed to them time and time again. I mean, you know, it's going to cross your mind to quit.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just throwing that out there. I do believe that it's a strategy. I think he's actually really good at this game, and I think he's like, you know, it's a great ploy, but there's times when I'm just like, do you want to quit? Like, do it, because you seem like you really do. Like, he's the world's greatest actor.
Yeah, there are multiple times, like every immunity challenge, if he's not getting it done right away, he's like, somebody else take over.
Yeah.
It happened in this one.
Yeah.
You're
he
right.
He does quit a lot, but then he comes back. He's like, okay, I can actually do this.
Yeah.
But he needs the cool off period for sure.
Yeah, I guess so. This is, I believe, where we get the what are y'all talking about scene, too.
It's great.
Which we can just save till Tree Mail. We have a fun question off of that. But that was a fun scene. This idea that Kenzie's always coming up with the, hey, what are you guys talking about? And they always have like an immediate answer. And it's the most random thing for the most part.
I will say I know we're going to get to it, but I will say that I can absolutely picture her in her salon going around to the chairs just saying, what are you all talking about?
Big time.
You know what I mean? Like, I think it's just part of her vernacular. It's a great way to get it butt into a conversation as well. Like, hey, what are you talking about? You know?
Sure. So. They've picked up on it though. Yeah. At least Q has. Over to Siga. Tim, this is where he's talking to Tiki Man about when he's going to poop. And then we get the tribe talking about who in the hell made them dig this 3-foot hole under the tree. Tim has an idea. He thinks he knows who probably has it or made them at least go and do this completely senseless digging of this hole. So he approaches Jem with a straight up accusation. I mean, he just like goes right at her. I thought she did in the moment a pretty good job of handling it. He was calling her out. He thinks it's her. Then he keeps coming at her like, you're the leader of the Girls Alliance. You know, who are you voting for? And then she like fires it right back at him. Like, it was, these two were like just slinging it at each other.
Yeah.
Now it's going to backfire for her. And Tim was right. His assumption was right. But what'd you think of Jem and Tim's exchange here?
I'm surprised you thought it was convincing, because I thought the complete opposite.
I thought so, too. I
too much
agree.
Dip on her chip.
Yeah.
So she's firing back too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mean specifically about the hole, the beware advantage
part. Well, about the hole, and then obviously later she was going a little bit overboard when they finally lost the challenge as well. But I didn't think she was very believable in that moment.
I don't either. And I also, the way it was edited, it just seemed like he was – it's portrayed that he's coming at her, but it also like just – there were different locations. They were, you know, walking yeah, on yeah. one and they're on the beach on the other.
Yeah.
And it just like they're just the back and forth, it was sort of almost flirtatious in a way. He's like, I know it was you who dug the hole. And then that's when she's like, no, it wasn't me. Like, and that's when, as Trey says, too much dip. Like, she's putting it on too much. But I think he was just fishing around, or at least he suspected her. I don't know. I didn't feel like he was coming at her as hard as she was coming back at him.
Maybe, I disagree. But the part I said I actually really liked, maybe not the believable part about the hole, but when we then go down to the beach as it continues
yeah.
in different locations, he then is pivoting from the hole to right. like, you're in charge.
Yeah.
You're this. You're that. And she's like, fuck that. Like, she started giving it right back to him, which I was like, refreshing, honestly. Like,
yeah, totally.
It, like, you know, you can either just take it and get run over and steamrolled. And she's like, no. Why do you get to do this? I'll just do it right back to you. Look how easy it is.
Right. On
she
this,
like flipped it.
On the stuff that wasn't true.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah. But look, he called it.
Yeah.
So what other, yeah, maybe it was all the part where she wasn't digging half the time, or who knows?
She said it was dirt. That scene was actually from last week when they were digging.
Right.
Like when they were actually actively digging.
Oh.
For it.
So maybe he picked up on her not
yeah.
being all
being
that
the one
into
who wasn't
it.
Digging.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And that's why she then turned it on him pretty aggressively, saying,
she very aggressively.
It's absolutely him. He's digging too much.
Yeah, this guy.
Wow.
This guy's
okay.
Digging too much. Not digging versus digging too much. Who's the guilty culprit? Immunity challenge day 11. We also learned they're playing for food. Pastries and fruit. That'll help Tim.
Yeah.
The fruit, maybe. Sorry, he's going to lose here. Probst calls Yanu just losers.
Yeah.
It was salty Probst here.
That was awesome.
Calls them losers and then tells them about their no Flint and their potential immunity losses records. Like, even the other tribes, it felt like, were like, whoa, relax.
That's for us to say.
Yeah, geez, this is what we talk about at the beach. You shouldn't yeah. be saying it to them. But I thought, I noticed the editors slipped in right before they actually started the challenge. They slipped in Jeff saying, let's go, Yanu. After all that shit talking and pointing out the records for futility,
yeah.
it was right before. You know how he does that? Like,
yeah.
he's usually like, all right, let's go. Or he usually just says, like, let's go, let's do this or whatever. Let's go, Yanu. I think even Pope's felt maybe a little
should have said that.
Yeah, I shouldn't have said that. But it worked. He inspired them.
Fired
them
up.
For the actual challenge, yeah, Tim is battling Hunter in the obstacle course. He did fly through that. Tim did.
Yeah, he was cruising. He was like jumping from the top to the bottom. They called him Tim of the Jungle at one point. you could use that for literally any name that's out there. Oh, GM of the Jungle.
I know.
They should recycle it.
Kenzie fell behind for Yanu. I had a question in here. This was bugging the hell out of me. Why did the trap door sometimes get closed and sometimes appeared to stay open?
Oh, interesting.
Because they would go up, but then it would go to another person, of course.
Yeah.
But if you watch it, there are times where the door is then closed.
Huh.
And I'm like, were they told they had, you know, after they go up and come down, did they have to close it? Was literally somebody on the Survivor, you know, Dream Team or whatever coming in here? And I was like, it was driving me nuts.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. But I swear, go and watch it. I think I'm not crazy that it was like changing at times.
Wow.
The trap door.
Well, Tim like jumped through it at one point. That was like he jumped from one level to the next and like popped up like he was Usher coming out from the bottom of a stage. Boom, the Super Bowl is ready, but I'm just doing a Survivor challenge.
You think he would be heavy right now? Would he be able to pop up like that? Then so we get Q sort of getting them back into it, and then he gets caught up on the rope. The hook and the rope, and I am like going, no, what is going on with this guy? Maybe you should quit. Can't even use
it. It does suck.
Oh my God. You get to the slingshot part. Hunter dominates it, you know, or at least they
He's
show
got one
us
in
that.
His backyard, probably.
Yeah, for sure. Ben, at one point when it's Seager versus Yanu, he drops a, this is the greatest playoffs of the century. What?
A lot of hyperbole like, on this episode.
This is the greatest playoffs of the century. I was like, this guy likes sports?
Yeah. Music and sports. This guy does
do it all.
He really can. So we're battling here. It's down to Q and Tim, right? For their respective tribes for mm-hmm. that final one. And we get a mad slow-mo shot of Q's eventual game-winning slingshot.
Yeah.
It looked cool.
It looked cool.
I will give it that. It looked cool.
And they come in second, so they win. They're going to get Flint. They're going to get some food. They're not going to Tribal Council. Finally, somebody else will. I mean, I was excited.
I was.
Like, yeah,
that was
sweet.
Great. That was so good.
Finally, somebody else. And there was some cool camera work, I thought, JD. Like, after Yanu celebrates, it's almost like they brought a handheld in right beside them.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're sort of whispering to each other about how happy they are. Mm-hmm. And you can see the other tribes in the background. Just look neat.
Yeah. It was like having like a camera on the bench kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, so what did you think of the challenge itself?
I was so happy to see somebody else win. And honestly, like, going from them talking about how they've had zero fun to actually seeing legitimate smiles on their face, realizing, oh, we get to have a fire later. I thought that was just great storytelling through the whole thing. I thought it was a pretty fun challenge.
Yeah.
And I like when they have everybody has to do something at the end of the challenges.
Because
otherwise, like, I mean, Nami still won. But it could have been just Hunter comes up, pop, pop, pop.
Yeah.
It's over. I like it better when the entire tribe has to contribute.
Yeah, we've seen that a couple times now.
Yeah.
It feels like somewhat of a new wrinkle. I mean, maybe it popped his head in previous seasons, but this idea
like,
that everybody has to contribute.
They've always had like, I mean, I guess at the puzzles, they've always had like two people are doing the puzzles and everybody else is yelling at them. But yeah, I don't think we've ever seen the slingshot specifically because it's always the biggest guy or somebody who just has a knack for it getting to do it all. But yeah, I agree with Trey. Like, it was great. And I loved seeing them win. I loved that moment where they're just basking in the moment. I thought that the slow-mo was a little bit much.
Oh.
It was a bit much. It would have been so much better if he had missed. Like, we were all, me, Jackson, and Rachel were like, he's going to miss. He's going to, like, we were on the edge of our seats. So like, and how funny would it have been if it just had veered off or whatever.
But like a quick cut to Jeff. He's like,
exactly.
We have a new record for losers.
Yeah. I mean, like, I know that it was all about this. The set piece was finally a win and we're supposed to feel good about it. And I did feel good about it, but it was just like, okay. This is for second place. Like, if it had been like for first place, that you know, the massive thing of fruit, like maybe, but it was just a little bit over the top for me.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Well, Probst then suddenly drops on us. There's a journey. I wasn't ready for it. Even I was surprised. I was like, wow, damn.
And one more thing. Journey.
Yeah. And Nami gets to pick because they won. So Hunter elects to go. And they will decide who wants to go from the other two tribes, but they basically ask them who wants to go. Tim right away. He's like, I'll do it.
Is there a bathroom?
And then Q decides to go. But I was like, what are you other people on the Green Tribe doing? Like, that's not good. Maybe you should decide as a group and, I don't know, paper, rock, scissors it or something. At least put it to chance. Like, you're just going to let them go? Like, I thought then and there it was going to come back maybe to bite them in the ass. And maybe in a weird way it did, because now you have the idea of, like, I don't know, what does he have? Right. He could have an advantage.
Yeah.
But it's Hunter, Tim, and Q. Going on the journey, they get there. These guys, these physical threats, probably three of the biggest out there. Maybe the three biggest. So they're like, hey, we should form an alliance. Three of us? Bring some plus ones? We got six. They talk it out. They seem to agree on it. I was like, all right, this is sort of fun.
Totally.
What are they going to call this alliance? You would go with something generally about their physicality, maybe. And you know, the brochachos gets thrown around.
Right.
I think they should call themselves the wedding table because of the plus ones.
Yeah, the plus ones.
They're all bringing a date. That's why I'd like to pitch the wedding table. If this alliance actually takes form here. But what'd you think before we get to the actual journey challenge that Hunter will do?
Yeah, I liked Q coming with an idea for strategy. It's like the first time that he's got to talk to other people, you know, maybe make some bonds going forward. He got a lot of information out of them, I thought, and considering their tribes already have all the information from Yanu.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I was a little surprised that Tim spilled the beans that Maria has an extra vote. Hunter, I didn't feel like said very much in this.
No.
And I actually don't really think that this alliance is going to stick together at all, but it's fun for right now. And at least it's something that's going to happen.
Yeah.
They probably won't even make it one vote, but who cares?
Exactly. Yeah.
I was a little surprised that, that Hunter named Tevin, right? Like, you know, Q has nothing to lose. Like, he already knows, like, Banu has already blew up his game. They already know that Tiff is his number one. So it really has nothing to lose. But the other two guys just offered up names too. So I was like, okay, all right, cool. I guess we're naming names and we're doing this. And such a charming moment when Q is explaining it and he's just sitting there and he just sort of pauses. And he goes, I think this is a really good idea. I'm like, God damn, I think you're right.
I love that they're trying it. I hope we get some of it, at least the attempt to build this thing. But the odds of this actually working. Like, because think about if you're the plus ones in this scenario. Okay, hold on. We're going to go with the three, you know, strongest challengers. Like, when we get into the individual aspect of this game.
No. Tiff's not in there.
Well, that's true. I mean, Hunter is the
Tiff
real.
Tiff is definitely in there.
Tiff's better than Q in challenges.
Oh, probably, 100%. Yeah. But, you know, the other one, I don't know. Like, my point is, like, you're going to get in this six. Okay, that sounds good. We can probably run this game here. But then... If I'm who is named
Tevin
Maria or Tevin, Maria, what the hell? Now I gotta beat you guys in an individual. That's gonna be difficult. Maybe they can pull it off.
Well, the other problem is that Tim is wrong about Maria. I mean, she's not with him.
Yes,
I mean she is for this vote, as it turns out. But Charlie's her man.
That's true. So. True. So then, the three of them have to decide on who will do a survivor knowledge test. And if you win, you get an advantage. If you lose your vote at the next tribal council. They talk it out. Didn't seem to take that long. They're like, Hunter, I guess, like, Tim's like, I think you know more than me. Yeah. Q didn't even, like, pipe up. He's like, I am not doing this. So Hunter says he'll give it a go. And the test is putting 20 survivor logos in chronological order, obviously with the timer going. What'd you think of the challenge? How would you have fared? He only got 8 out of 20 in the end.
I also would have gotten Borneo. First one?
Yeah, that looked tough.
That looked
very
tough.
Very
and it's
tough.
Definitely one of those things, too. Like, I mean, he screwed up more than once, but you screw up one.
Yeah.
Well, you screw up one, you're done.
Yeah.
You just got two in the wrong spot, maybe flipped or something. I think I would have been all right for the first batch, and then, my God, as it goes on, there's not a chance.
No way.
At near the end.
We're talking like 20 randos out of 40 seasons.
Yeah.
No, there's no way. There's no way.
We said maybe he should have gotten the option to like almost like, okay, I'm going to check.
Yeah.
And then it says, well, it could have been even like, you have 7 right.
Right.
You know? And then you don't know which ones are right. But you get one more, like, okay, we'll move this around. I don't think it would have mattered. That was very difficult.
Yeah.
Super, super Survivor fans, I'm sure they're like, I could do that in my sleep.
Well,
there are
some
people that could, for sure.
For that challenge is built for the super fans who are watching at home. And again, I'm going to make my pitch. Let's get Devins out there. Let's get somebody hosting these challenges, because it was not great TV. Let's be honest.
No, it wasn't. And more, if anything, it was infuriating TV to us fans, because you're sort of like, well, let me see it first.
Right.
Like, I would like to take a crack at it.
They did offer up the logos, and then they offered up the answer, I guess.
Yeah.
So if we were pausing it and just sort of like, you know, doing it, playing along at home sort of thing. But you can't really play along at home. And what we got instead was just a fucking masturbatory, oh, remember Tyson? I mean, I love Tyson. Yeah, it was fun to see Tyson. Yeah. Oh, remember Parvati? Remember how good this game used to be, man? That's a little harsher than I wanted it to sound. But but it's just like, we don't want a trip down memory lane right now. We want an intense challenge that this guy is trying to get. Otherwise, he's going to lose his vote. So we need somebody on that beach to be like, okay, like they could have just done like a, I don't know, like a match game or like, all right, here's the first one and here's the middle one. What's the middle one? And just sort of like the clock's ticking. We need that.
Yeah.
We need that, because otherwise it's just like, okay, we watch a guy randomly put down 20 things and like we should be on the edge of our seats playing along going, no, not that one, that one.
Yeah.
It could be so much more fun, but instead it's just like, okay, more flashbacks and oh, he got it wrong and boy was he off, but it just didn't really, it just fell flat and it was way too long for what, just a guy shuffling around tiles without us getting to participate.
All of the logos, all of the seasons should have had a poop theme too. It should have been Bruce, his season when he was all plugged up, Survivor Darnell and his aqua dump. Like they should have, maybe 20 was too much. Let's get all the ones where we've had like infamous discussions from.
And also it's billed as like, well, are you a super fan? Like, cause you got to know a lot about Survivor. And then it's just the logos. It's just like, oh God, like Survivor trivia, like Survivor Jeopardy. Let's do it. I mean, that's fun to play along with. I mean,
that's where my mind went. It was going to be Survivor questions,
right?
Right. That he was going to get, but instead it was logos. And then he even pointed out, damn it, I didn't watch these in chronological order either. So that makes it 10 times more difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. Or they could have given him like 1 through 20. All right. These are 1 through 20.
Right.
Now put them in order.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It was what? 1 through 40, basically. Yeah. Put them in order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't love it. I don't think you should have to know the history of Survivor to win an advantage on Survivor.
Mm, okay.
There have been a lot of great players who have never seen an episode. Like Tyson didn't know about Survivor before he went on Survivor.
Yeah.
Right.
It's funny to think if they had three people out there that like aren't really Survivor fans at all, like somebody could have popped that open and gone like, what? Like at least he was recognizing them. He could tell the seasons a little bit.
Right.
They got lucky for who went there.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
But they're not casting people like that anymore. You have to be a super fan. Like they want people to know the game. I guess, you know, Banu aside.
Oh man, yeah, he would have been amazing. He would have been praying. Okay, so yeah, Hunter doesn't get it, and he is going to lose his vote at the next tribal council. Yanu, day 11. Just a quick check-in here because they get some food.
They're happy.
Tiff and Kenzie taking down some blueberry muffins and some fruit.
And some cupcakes.
They finally do start a fire when Q comes back, and the comeback kids. There's their alliance name, I guess. They're feeling pretty good for the first time in a long time. Were you shocked at... they ate without Q? Or would you have been upset if you were Q?
I was yelling at my screen. What are you doing? I mean, and they said, we saved a third of everything. But I was like, they're eating all the food. Q is out there trying to get an advantage for you guys. Well, for himself.
Yeah.
But still. It wasn't his choice to go, was it? Or was
it? We never really couldn't tell who decided there on Q. If they picked Q or if he said he would go. But
yeah. They say they saved a third, and I believe them.
But I do, too.
It wasn't the best third. It wasn't the best third.
It was the worst third.
He got the ugliest grapes. I would have been on both. I would have been the same on both sides. Like, if I was Q, I'd be like, oh, you ate without me?
Yeah.
But also, if they set that food down, I'm not waiting.
Yeah,
fair enough. It was a great Kenzie moment. Ah, I'm elated.
Elated.
Okay, back to Sega we go, though. Of course, still day 11. Mo lets us know that three different people have gone on the journey now from this tribe. which is, you know, of note, because it, you're thinking, who's got extra votes, who's got no votes, who's got something else maybe? You don't really know. You just had three people now go. Jem, though, because they lost, gets to go and dig up the new clue. And it's pretty nuts. She has to use the machete to find out the perimeter of the tribe's boat, the width of the tribe logo, and the perimeter of tree mail. Then she's got to throw those numbers into an equation. Boat times logo plus tree mail equals number of machete lengths from the spot you buried, you know, that box, towards the ocean. I was like, whoa. And she's got to do all this, like, in front of people, in theory, all this measuring and stuff. But she does it. Finds the key, unlocks the box, has an idol.
Nice.
Well, yeah, did you like this little task that you
guys get? I love it. I just, because it's such an odd thing to do, hold the machete yeah. up to the sign. And I mean, it was surprisingly easy for her to do, you know, like there was, didn't seem to be anybody around.
No, not anybody around. She did talk about, though, in her exit interviews, she forgot what perimeter was.
Yeah.
So she was like freaking out for a bit, like, what does that mean?
Oh, she said, I started with circumference and radius.
and then got to the idea.
Circumference is close to perimeter, I'll say. Yeah. She also made another good point in her exit interview. She could have just gotten a stick that was the size of the machete. So you're not carrying a machete around for no reason.
Yeah.
But she also said, I'm the one who's the machete girl. Yeah, they just knew me as carrying around a machete, so it wasn't that suspicious.
She did say that she generally found them a lot of the food, so that sort of checks out.
Okay. Well, she was definitely holding a machete when she confronted Ben later on in the episode.
She has a really good eye, I was going to say. She must be very good at, like, hanging things and stuff like that, because she would take the machete and just sort of move it. Now, I would have probably been way too anal. I would have been like when she's doing the 28 machetes, I probably would have done the old flip it over.
Yeah,
she was just doing the, and it obviously nailed it. Yeah. She got to 28 and dig it up. It was right there.
I was just thinking, are there ways to game this? Because first of all, you don't need to measure every single thing. You could easily estimate it. And number two,
that's true.
First and foremost, what if you just started digging? You know, it's a length of ways in front of you. It ended up being, what, 28 machetes?
Yeah.
So that's, what, 50 feet in front of you?
Sure.
Yeah. You could dig a path for 50 feet.
You could. Yeah. You don't know how deep it's
buried. That's my
theory. It wasn't deep.
It wasn't.
Well, you don't know that, I guess. But I guess you do kind of
You
know
do
it.
If you just do it, I guess. Yeah. Yeah. Just like Trey's saying, just go.
I think they would have said there's rules. You got to go measure stuff.
They want them Maybe. To see them.
Yeah. The drama of it.
Yeah. Possible. I mean, how long is the machete?
2 feet.
Yeah. Ballpark, yeah, that sounds right.
I like the attention to detail of the sign was exactly two machetes.
Oh,
you know,
the,
like,
everything was.
Everything. Yeah. So it was cool.
So where are we here? We are after that, Morsiga. The girls tell Charlie, plan, we're splitting votes. Some focus on Ben. They're a little concerned about Tim having just gone on this thing. I don't know what he's got. He might have an idol. So Jem puts the full court pressure on Ben. And this is where we have the machete versus the hammer. And
machete versus hammer.
And again,
holding my space.
She is she's coming at this very aggressively.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben sniffs it out. He's like, I don't know what's going on here. This is too intense. The vibe is turned.
Such a weird interaction between the two of them. Like, just the way he sort of hops into the set with the hammer, he hammers the branch for some reason, and then they're like having this weird standoff. Like, the energy was just crazy.
Yeah, it is. And then, you know, Ben at one point says, Ben is a charisma rock and roll shield. So there's this idea of, like, yeah, who are we focusing on? Charlie doesn't really want it to be Ben. So, you know, he wants it to be someone else, but not, you know, maybe not one of the girls, because they did have sort of an alliance there. It's a little confusing. But Charlie and Maria, they're generally in charge, so they're just going to decide, are we going for a boy or are we going for a girl?
Mm-hmm.
That's where we sort of leave it before we go to tribal council. Yeah, what did you think of Jem with Ben there and that whole scene? And you know, really her with Tim and Ben throughout this episode, trying to get them to, like, sort of side with her and vote with her.
At least... tell her who they were going for. I didn't think she was trying to unite with them at all, but it's kind of, she was in a weird position because it's, what, day 11 by the time they actually get to vote out, and she has known since day 2 that she doesn't have a vote, So they finally lose at Tribal Council. She's got to go into game mode, like, hardcore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas they're kind of just, like, settling into things. Yeah. Okay, we're going to figure out what's going on here. So I understand why she was in overdrive a little bit. But if we could notice the change in vibes, just watching 3 minutes of it on television... If you're Ben, a guy who is attuned to vibes, he would know right away that something is up.
Yeah, she spooked them. She absolutely spooked them 100%. With how like just much she cranked it up probably after they lost. And then she had the power of the idol and then, trying to figure out whether she's going to play it or who they're going to go for, which she doesn't here because let's go to Tribal Council. I wrote in my notes. I got to say, because I saw Mo looking around. That's their first time at Tribal Council. Right. Set does look absolutely amazing.
It does.
She was like,
it does.
Her like jaw was on the floor. She's like looking around. And then we get talk about them doing everything together except Aqua Dumps. Hardy har har. Mo talks about the possibility of there being extra votes. No votes on Idol. Nobody knows. Jem asks Jeff if she can write his name down. That was weird.
I'm here forever.
And he says he's here forever. Wow.
Okay.
Jeff Probst's going to live forever.
Well,
there will be an AI Jeff Probst at one point. For sure.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so we then get up into the voting booth. We learn no vote for Ben, who, smooth move by him throughout these, like, whenever he went on his journey. I don't know what day that was. But, like, this whole time, his whole story is, like, not sure if I have my vote.
Smart.
I don't know. That's very smart. Very, very smart. I might have it. I'm not sure. I'll find out when I'm up there.
Yeah.
He obviously doesn't have it. We know that. He knows that. Maria gets her extra vote. It says the last time she can use it, six people left in the game. So you're like, I wonder if she'll use it here. In the end, we go to the votes. You know, Probes asks anyone want to play an idol. Jem doesn't really even think about it. She thought she was safe. She's voted out 4-2. Mo voted for Ben. Jem voted for Ben. Everybody else that had a vote voted for Jem, and Maria did use her two votes.
Did you see she wrote two different names with two different handwritings?
She did indeed.
Sneaky.
Okay.
didn't need to use the second vote in the end.
She was worried about Ben not having a vote, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. Takes the target off her back a little bit.
Yeah,
everybody
knows it does. Everybody
had
knew
it.
She had it. I sort of do like that. Just like burn it. It's gone. And that's it. Jem's gone. Played hard here in this final one. Like, JD, you did call it last week.
I did.
You thought that damn beware advantage and her obviously tricking everybody might come back to bite her in the ass.
Yeah.
It ultimately did.
It did. I mean, she's not as good a liar as she thinks she is, that's for sure. But yeah, I mean, I thought the Tribal Council was great. It was great to have a traditional sort of Jeff asking questions and everybody being cagey. And you know, last week he was talking about how exhilarated he was that everybody was voting this guy to the point where they didn't even bother voting. I found this exhilarating because the Vibe Tribe is getting broken up and somebody finally has to flip and someone is going to get their heart broken. And I just thought it was great TV, you know? It was fun.
It was a real blindside. Like, it was the first time this season when you're like, oh, I don't know who's going to go home.
Yeah.
That's a great point. The first time all season somebody even got more than one vote.
Yeah.
So, you know, Mo again voting with Jem. We'll see what the fallout is there.
Yeah.
And how upset she'll be.
Jem's big mistakes to me were with regards to getting the idol, like, she could have maybe told Maria and Charlie about it. And then that keeps Charlie's angels together.
Right.
You know, bonding or building trust there by revealing what happened. But also then you have to be like, but I did make you dig for 3 days.
Yeah.
So that was a problem. She was caught between a hole and an idol at that point, which is a tough spot to be. But also everybody likes Ben, you know?
Yep.
So if the plan is we're going to try and get out Ben, who we know Charlie is close to, don't you think it's smarter to say we're going to try and get out Tim, who's not nearly as close to Charlie?
Right.
Yeah.
But we found out that apparently Tim and Maria are pretty close to each other. He said that's his number one. And they were talking about being parents together a bunch. So I don't know if that necessarily would have helped. But I think going against Ben is probably a non-starter for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Totally.
And both of these guys have gone on this journey.
Right.
So there's that whole part of the equation. It's like when you go on this, you have to assume they almost have something.
Yeah.
Right? Like, how wouldn't you? So those two being targets, you know, she didn't. Jem didn't go on this.
Right.
And it is so funny. We're always generally when we do these seasons. God, can anybody keep a secret about the idol they found? Stop telling everybody, because it always comes back to bite them in the ass. But it's ironically, she probably would have saved herself.
This is why people tell.
This is why people tell. Build that bond. Now they're suddenly like, well, damn, maybe we can't vote for her.
Right.
Because she's got an idol.
I think you're right, Trey, in that I think that she left it too long. She let them dig for too long. Because if she told anybody, they would have been. Even Ben was like, he says on the show, "What a dick move!" Like making us, you know, they were getting stung by ants and stuff, yeah. And she just watched it all happen. Like, I don't know if she could recover from that. But yeah, that's probably why one of the main reasons that stopped her from telling anyone. But also, as you say, like, let's keep a secret.
Yeah,
and then
know.
She kept a secret, and then she goes,
how long would you be okay with digging before somebody came out and told you that you were on a wild dig chase? Like, one day, would you be like, oh, all right, that's a funny prank.
Okay, what, taking ants out of the equation?
Yeah, no ants.
No ants? Then I think I'm good for one day.
One wasted day of digging, yeah.
What else are we doing?
Yeah, exactly.
We haven't gone to tribal.
But then again, like, they're like, we wasted a day of digging. We could have been learning salsa. We could have been jumping.
What else were you doing?
We could have
made more songs.
Yeah.
We could have gotten to the merengue by now.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, Jen's gone. My only other note before we take a quick break and go to tribal council, I noticed all the girls wearing homemade necklaces. Did you see this on Sega?
Oh,
here?
I did notice.
They all got them.
Jem was wearing them.
They all had them.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
I didn't,
they're not hiding their love for one another. But they all seem to love each other, so it's not that surprising. They're all going to get tattoos, but not Jem anymore. She was asked about it.
Oh, really?
She said, no way. I'm getting a Sega tattoo. Are you crazy?
Apparently she was
extremely blindsided, obviously didn't play her idol, had no idea she was going home, and you know, she didn't say F you to them, but left in a huff. Yeah.
It was, she seemed very pissed, for
she was
sure.
Very, very pissed, very upset. They backstabbed her. But great episode. Finally sort of felt like a Survivor episode.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
We'll take a quick break, very quick break, and when we come back, some tree mail to answer some of your questions. Don't go anywhere.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Just wanted to once again show some love to the live tribe comments, man. The discussion, the points, the debates.
The Owen. Saw Owen was in there earlier.
Oh, fantastic.
Good to see you, man.
It's all fire. It's all great, guys. I mean, we could just do a podcast where we just sit here and read your comments. Instead, let's read your questions. Tree mail. Okay, some good cues. Here in today's tree mail, first one from Doug. Dougie G always got a bunch of great cues. We picked this one because it made us laugh. Here were Tiffany's answers when Kenzie asked her and Q about what they were talking about. Salmon, chopping up wood, coconuts versus papayas, and Q telling us to write his name down. Doug wants to know, which conversation would you be most interested in? What of those four would you be like, oh, let's talk about it?
Coconuts versus papayas, to me. Just because, I don't know, like, I think in my general life, I like papaya more.
Same.
But I eat coconut more. Like, yeah, it's rare to have a papaya in day-to-day life here in Atlanta, Georgia, at least for me. but I don't know, if I'm eating, like, coconut every single day, if I'm eating papaya every single day, I don't know where I'm coming down.
Okay.
Which one is, if you could only eat one for the rest of your life, which would it be? I don't know.
Oh, it's coconut.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I go with that.
Papaya smells like barf or something. It's got a smell to it that I do not like. Right. The taste of it is fine, but
yeah. Ugh. Okay, interesting. So which one of these conversations are you interested in?
Well, Q telling us to write his name down jumps out at me.
Yeah.
But the way she said it was like almost like he's telling us to write his name down again, like as if he just won't shut up about him, you know, wanting to quit the game. But yeah, I guess coconuts versus papayas. I have a, you know, strong opinion, so I'm going to say coconuts 100%. So,
do you think Tiff was actually talking with Q about all these four things? Or were these just, you know, quick decisions to, like, throw Kenzie off the scent? Like, they're talking about voting her out.
I think they were talking about the things that...
I do, too.
Like, literally.
It was such a quick answer.
It was very quick. It was very, very quick. I think my answer, or the one I would go with, chopping up wood.
Okay.
I'm a bit of a pyro. I just said it. I love a good fire. Oh, yeah. What type of wood we got here? You want me to do some? I'll go get some.
I can chop.
I love it.
But they haven't made fire yet at this point.
True.
Or have they?
When did that happen? Yeah, that did happen prior to...
Yeah, that was before they got flipped. Yeah.
Maybe probably. They just have like so much
wood.
Firewood stockpiled. Because they've had for 10 days just to collect it.
That is a luxury, man. When you have firewood, you feel good.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah.
Like, I get to start a fire anytime. I'm not gonna, but I could.
You could.
Yeah, just
could.
In case.
That's the point. All right, Daniel writes in, how would you guys do at putting the Survivor logos in order? And can you call yourself a super fan if you only get 8 out of 20 on that challenge? Wow. I mean, I think he's still a super fan. The guy's building damn, you know, challenges in his backyard.
Yeah.
We sort of went over this. It sounds like none of us felt all that confident that we would have won that for anybody.
No way.
No.
But I think you could be called a super fan without knowing the logos and the order of 20 out of 45. Well, I guess it would be 40 because there were only the subtitled ones, right? Because all the rest of them have the numbers in the logo.
They definitely didn't have 41 through 46 in there.
Right. Yeah.
I could nail those ones. But I was glad to see that Hunter failed at this because he is a super fan.
Yeah.
The guy's got a whole room full of Survivor stuff. So to see him get 8 out of 20, I was pretty happy because I was like, I know I couldn't do this. Does that make me Banu? A super fan who doesn't know the proper order of the seasons? Apparently not.
Okay.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, I don't even consider myself a super fan. There are seasons that I have never even watched.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Want to do a rewatch?
Sure.
Aren't they all available on Paramount Plus?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I should
like,
go
do
back.
You know any off the top of your head that you haven't seen? Seasons?
You're not off the top of my head.
Like, you're talking way back.
Way back, yeah. There was a couple of seasons that I just like, I'm out.
I mean, I did that too in the moment, and then obviously...
Yeah, you went back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like to go back when it comes to shows, especially reality shows.
You don't like to do the shillelagh of time when it comes to watching Survivor season?
It's like going back and, you know, you guys are... sports guys, like you'll watch an old game maybe or clips of an old game. Like, I don't know.
You're not into that?
I don't know.
Okay.
It happens. I'll just look up who won.
If JD was Jack on Lost, he would have ended after season 2. Right. They get off. He's like, oh, I'm good.
Yeah.
We don't have to go back.
Yeah, we don't have to go back to the island. What else you got? Show me another island.
All right. Let's go to Zachary here. Which of the three journey formats shown this season would you prefer going forward? All three compete for an advantage? Only two people play for an advantage, or only one person gets a shot at the advantage. There are pros and cons to all three, especially since the tribe assumes journey equals advantage. You have an opinion on this?
I like the two people get an advantage, one person gets fucked. You know what I mean?
Okay, so like what we saw the first
the bluff game that what's his name?
Maria, Jelinski. Tevin, and Jelinski.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't necessarily love the format of that, but I like the idea of like there's two people are going to get an advantage and one person has no advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody is just assumes that you're getting an advantage when you go back to your tribes. I like that.
Okay.
This like, who wants to do it? You want to risk your vote? All right, you go ahead, Hunter. I'm fine with that, I guess, but I feel like there should have been a little bit more consequence for the dudes who didn't do it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It did say there on the parchment, you know, if they can't decide who's going to do it, they just get to rock drawn.
Oh, okay.
It did say that. Because I was like, what if they were like, I want to do it. No, I want to do it. I want to do it.
Yeah.
They would just draw for it, I guess. But do you have a preference here of these journey formats?
If I was playing, I would want it to be in all three people have a chance at the advantage. Because, like, if everybody's going to assume you have it when you come back, at least give me a chance to get one.
Yep.
Because kind of like that's what happened to Banu. Like, he got sent on this journey, lost his vote, and I see you, buddy. but I do like them changing it up in all of these journeys because it adds a layer of confusion, and it just means that even if you're telling the truth, people are going to think you're lying, which is what happened with Tim and Jem when Tim came back. You know, like, you say whatever you say, and they're like, we don't believe you.
Yeah.
So it forces you to have to do a little bit of damage control, but I agree with JD. There could have been a little bit more fallout from this one. It seemed pretty smooth sailing when they both got home.
Yeah. I mean,
I want to know how long they're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, how long were Q and Hunter gone? Or, excuse me, Q and Tim. Because they just show up. They have this little powwow.
Did they have to
form
wait?
This potential alliance?
Yeah.
And then they just seemed like they were walking back to the boat.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the quicker you get back, the better, I would assume.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, we showed up, we talked for 5 minutes, and then we decided Hunter was going to do it.
Yeah.
I have no idea how he did. We left.
Right.
Peace.
Let's get some more, like, sandwiches in the mix, too. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, you can either risk your vote, you can either do this, or you can eat a sandwich and go back. I mean, you know, just...
What was that guy's name?
Austin. Big plot point last season.
That was.
The sandwich lasted for 5 episodes, it felt like, afterwards.
Yeah.
You know.
Next one from Survivor Now Pod. Who are you predicting to win more individual immunity challenges? The superstar athlete Q or Survivor MacGyver himself Hunter? We know Trey's answer to this.
My answer is the same.
Hunter by a mile.
Hunter is not even close. I agree with Trey. I don't think Q is even the best challenge person on his tribe of three.
Yeah. I tend to agree with you guys. He's obviously built like an athlete, but it doesn't mean you're good at this stuff.
Yeah.
And he hasn't shown it. We haven't really ever seen, like, wow, that guy's killing it.
I mean,
anything.
He was anchoring. He was in the anchor position last night, and they still came in second. I mean, Tiff and Kenzie didn't fly through the course by any means, but he also did not, like, make up any extra time,
I
thought.
On the rope and all that.
Yeah.
But in other things, too, like landing things and... You know, anything with, like, sort of shooting. I don't know. He hasn't blown us away, at least from what we've seen.
No.
So
what position does he play?
Hunter. I don't know.
He was a quarterback in high school, but maybe a receiver in college.
Mm. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Hunter
okay.
practices.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it boils down to.
Yeah. And
he might get a job with the Dream Team after this.
He might be building these things after this, for sure. All right, Mike says, say you're the editor-in-chief for the Merciless newspaper who wrote Burdette Fumbles. That's Q we're talking about here. What headline are you publishing for him this week? What about for Jem? What about Banu last week? So anybody want to take a stab at some headlines in this newspaper? Same one that wrote Burdette Fumbles.
I only have one. It's for Banu. Banu voted out, God laughs his head off.
Okay.
I was very annoyed to see Banu in the previously on at the beginning, but it did remind me of the point where he's actually, like, mocking God and saying, "Great plan, man."
Great plan, man. Not groovy, baby.
So good. Okay. So good.
Do you have any headlines?
Burdette bags it.
Yeah, there you go.
A bag went flying.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Yep.
Nice.
Burdette bags it.
Man seeking a million hearts falls short.
What about Jem? You got one for Jem?
What do I got for Jem?
Jem dug her own hole.
Ooh,
there you go.
I like that.
Perfect.
That's not bad.
That's great.
Final one here. Kevin, how would you react if someone told you what Venus told Hunter in last night's episode, basically calling him out as a huge threat, but also saying she wants to work with him and use him as a meat shield? He seemed to not take it very well, but it could also be because he was idol hunting. Okay, so we started talking about this already. Any other thoughts on how Venus approached that and how you would take it if you were in Hunter's position?
It was kind of similar, I guess, to when Randon approached Venus, right? And was like, I know Parvati Light when I see it. Mm-hmm. And he said that to her. They weren't going to work together. And then they actually started working together. And that seemed like a smart connection for Venus to make. I know you're not necessarily pulling for me here, but I know where you stand. And I thought Hunter could have played it kind of in a similar manner as Venus did when she was the one who was getting called out. But I don't think it's, like, the softest touch to come up to somebody and be like, everybody's going to be trying to vote you out, but not me.
Right.
Not
right.
me.
JD, you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. Like, Venus, she's our homegirl. She's a last Canadian left on the. So I'm rooting for her.
I'm excited to see her come merge time.
Yeah.
She could be a wild card.
Well, that's the thing. I think she could be a really great agent of chaos.
Yeah.
But I just feel like she just doesn't have this dictuitiveness to it. You know, like I don't know how long she was there with Hunter, but she just didn't glom onto him like I was kind of hoping she would. And like you say, Trey, there's no finesse there. There's no like, hey, let's work together. It's like, you're my meat shield. Don't worry about me. Ah, it's just not great social play. And I thought that Hunter's response was, she's like, I'm rooting for you. And then he says, I'm rooting for Nami. You know, like, I'm rooting for the team. Like, we're still a team here. So that sort of response without like committing to her or being, you know, just basically telling her to fuck off without, but saying we're all still in this together. So let's play the team game for now.
Yeah.
You know, it was good. Like he is a curmudgeon for sure. Like, like his social game could use some work as well. Like he just cannot seem to get, like you say, Trey, like he just, you know, fake it. Like, hey, we just won again. Let's maybe celebrate a little more, you know, like.
Yeah.
Oh, he's thinking about the next one. Man.
Yeah, yeah.
This guy's locked in.
It's like, how am I going to build this? It's impossible.
Here's a question. What shield would you rather have in front of you? A meat shield like Hunter or the charisma rock and roll shield like Ben? That's a serious question. At least in the construct of this game and who's out there.
Yeah.
You may prefer to have.
I'm going to go meat shield.
Hunter,
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I sort of think
like
so,
he's a
too.
Clear threat, you know.
Exactly.
But
the charisma rock and roll. I mean, he's always telling you about his rock and roll.
Yeah.
But
charisma people win, though.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's why
he's saying maybe the way I'm pitching it is like that's scarier shield.
Yeah.
But you can flip it.
But also a bigger threat, I think.
Right. But I want a meat shield to dispose of, like getting down to five or whatever.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
A charisma shield is going to. They go to the end. They win.
Rock and roll, baby.
I mean, I got to meet this guy. Like Mariah is saying, like, he is the most charismatic, enjoyable, nicest person I've ever met. She said that. That I ever met. I mean, it's not a great cast, let's be honest. But still, like.
It's amazing that he hasn't come off, especially to me. Probably you.
Yeah.
Trey less so. Maybe even Trey. No, we can get prickly here on this show.
Sure.
But he hasn't come off as annoying.
Yeah.
Despite, you know,
he's
just
charming.
Listing a bunch of metallic songs and nonstop dropping rock and roll references. He hasn't. Yeah.
If anything, he's getting more charming.
I know.
He's charming.
Yeah. I'm starting to like
he's
him more and
more,
too.
Guy's 32 years old. Why does he like all of these bands? That's amazing.
We're going to find out.
He seems way older than 32.
Definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Old soul, this guy.
The leather vest puts at least 15 years on
Definitely true.
Yeah. All right. So that's Dream L. Thanks for all your questions. Make your picks. Obviously, our Survivor pool. Some rule clarifications for everyone, okay? From Chris there that runs MYP. For episodes 6 through 10, so these next 5 episodes, you get 2 votes.
Ooh.
For who will be eliminated each week, down from 3. A correct vote pre-merge worth 12 points, a correct vote post-merge worth 15 points. Technically, the merge hasn't happened yet, so this week votes are still worth 12 points until we officially see the merge happen. So this could be, we could have a fake merge here, right? That we've seen over these last couple
Mergatory,
of seasons.
Mergatory.
Mergatory, thank you. That was the word I was trying to think of. Some interesting facts here, though, about our Make Your Picks No Buffs Survivor Fantasy Pool. Through 5 episodes, contestants in the pool have played over 1,139 extra votes.
Okay.
And nearly the identical number of double vote points. And then Chris told me, like, the people in the top 20, when you look on average what they're doing, they're playing all this stuff.
Yeah.
You got to. I've been doing it way more this year.
Yeah, same.
I don't know, like those last couple seasons, like, oh, I'll save it. I'll save it.
I
you got
did.
Lots.
Yeah.
You got lots of double points to play with. You got all that stuff. So use it if you want to help your chances. Did anybody have Jem going home last night?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, well, yeah. Okay, good. So did I. I had her on my list.
Yeah.
I doubled down on Tim, though.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. I was confident it was going to be Sega going, but I doubled down on him. Well, that's good to hear. Next time on Survivor, we do hear Drop Your Buffs. So yep. we're doing a mergatory. We're doing something. The episode is titled Cancel Christmas. So whatever you want to take from that.
Damn. It's a little early.
Yeah, I know. Do you have a feel on, I mean, this is always the most difficult one to try and pick because we don't know.
They often split them into like the two groups, right? And like half of them are safe.
Half of them are safe. Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be a Yanu. I'll say that.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be a purple because that's kind of been what's happening in the new era is one tribe sucks in pre-merge. Mm-hmm. Then they get together and whoever's left over from that tribe becomes the swing vote.
Yep.
And they go far.
Yep.
So like I'm actually thinking Kenzie, Q, and Tiff are in a decent spot right now. And now that we're going, it's like 5-5-3.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly. And they're all, those three are like, they do seem to be very likable people, pretty knowledgeable about the game, pretty good at challenges overall, the three of them. So yeah, I'm with you. They're in a good spot. So really it's, how does this get shaken up? Who's on whose team here and who's going? Look, maybe it is just a straight up merge. I guess it could be.
Could be.
You know, there's 13, we said left. JD, call your shot, though. Who's going home?
I think I'm going to swerve and say the exact opposite of what Trey just said.
Oh, wow.
I think it is going to be a Yanu, and I'm going to pick, for my two votes, Tiff and Q.
Interesting.
Because I think they're the most
easy target that they are paired.
They're already been outed as a super alliance or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just easy from everyone's perspective, you know? And I feel like Kenzie could get in there and be like, yeah, you should definitely vote for them.
I hope we do see the wedding table alliance or whatever we're going to call it. I just hope we get a scene where they all they all come together.
See what they're saying.
Hey, how we doing? How we feeling? anyway, make sure you get your picks in. Tough, difficult.
Oh, it's impossible. Yeah. I mean, I just said that to say something
it
different.
It sounded smart. It sounded really smart. I loved it. I like Trey saying the opposite, too. That sounded smart, too. you guys all sound smart. But anyway, just make your picks. Honestly, sometimes the best move is just go randomly pick. Just make sure you get your picks in. Anything else, guys, from episode 5? You know, how we feeling after? You know, we were a little down in the dumps after episode 4.
We got Banu'd out, man.
We got Banu'd out. I know there was some pushback to us in the comment. I thought you guys never do you even like this show? You're just crapping on it.
I mean, there is nobody more critical of my children than me, okay? And I love my children more than anything. I would lay down in traffic for my children. So, but the things that you love the most, sometimes you need to criticize.
Sure.
And I think that Jeff has lost the plot a little bit, at least at the beginning of this season.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, to sit there and say I'll be here forever. Okay, Jeff.
You don't want that?
I want Jeff to be the host for as long as he is living on this planet. Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Don't get me wrong. But
you can never retire.
Survivor is bigger than Jeff. That's what I'm saying. It's bigger than Jeff. And I think he's just enjoying the smell of his farts a little too much right now. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
We know Tim didn't cut it.
That's all. I mean, you criticize something that you love.
Yeah,
there's nothing.
Yeah.
There's all love here.
I'm saying there was one comment, about us being angry. But the good thing is, silver lining, it hasn't been the strongest start to the season.
No.
It can only go up, in theory. Hopefully. I mean, I guess it could stay very stagnant and potentially boring. I don't think it's going to.
I'm not
going to
proclaim from the rooftop, like a Trey Kirby style, Survivor's back yet. But it did feel like I was watching Survivor again last night.
So
I'm grateful for that.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll be here next week.
Forever.
We'll be here forever.
Here forever.
Absolutely.
We're podcasting about Survivor as long as Jeff's on the show.
That's okay.
Right.
Fair enough.
Until this decrepit thing falls apart.
Oh, man. It's already. It's got coffee
stains. It's got coffee on Jeff. What?
Yeah. I mean, it's falling apart at the back. It tipped on us that one show.
He's got a wrinkly old elbow.
Probes forever, man. Jeff forever.
Love all
right. Hit the like button, subscribe, leave your boys a 5-star rating and review, and we will see you next week for No Buffs breaking down episode 6 of Survivor 46. Until then, the tribe has spoken.